مبلغ في اسمائي prayer may you keep ascending success share مبلغ في اسمائي prayer may you keep ascending success share
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has said that a person who sends one time durood or salutations upon me, Allah Azza wa Jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the opportunity to participate in this beautiful silsila of Faizani Hadith to learn few ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى كَذَّبَنِ ابْنُ آدَمَ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ ذَلِكَ وَشَتَمَنِي وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ ذَلِكَ فَأَمَّا تَكْذِيبَهُ إِيَّايَ فَقَوْلُهُ لَنْ يُعِيدَنِي كَمَا بَدَأَنِي وَلَيْسَ أَوَّلُ الْخَلْقِ بِأَهْوَنَ عَلِيَّ مِنْ إِعَادَتِهِ وَأَمَّا شَتْمَهُ إِيَّايَ فقوله اتخذ الله ولدا وانا الاحد الصمد الذي لم الد ولم اولد ولم يكن لي كفوا احد وفي روايه ابن عباس واما شتمه اياي فقوله لي ولد وسبحاني ان اتخذ صاحبه او ولدا رواه البخاري. This hadith which I have recited is narrated by Imam Bukhari in Sahih al-Bukhari. The translation of Hadith Mubarakah is that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, human being belies me, and this is not suitable for him. He sways at me, and it is not right for him. His belying me is, he says that Allah will not be able to create me like the first time. Whereas creating first time is not easy to create second time. That means first time is normally more difficult than to create second time. And his swearing at me is that he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has children and I am alone, I am carefree, I am not born from anyone and no one is born from me and no one is equal to me. And in the narration of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is mentioned that human being sways at me by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has children, and Allah says, I am free from having wife or child. This was the translation of Hadith Mubarakah which I have recited. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, you have heard that in this Hadith Mubarakah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قال الله, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. So in any hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَالَ اللَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, that is hadith Qudsi. There is a difference between hadith Qudsi and Quran Kareem. Hadith Qudsi can be received in dream or in ilham. Ilham is spiritual inspiration. But Quran-e-Majeed has to be received in the wakeful state. So that's the one difference between Hadith-e-Qudsi and Quran-e-Majeed. And secondly, as far as Quran-e-Majeed is concerned, the meanings, the message and the words both are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Hadith-e-Qudsi, the message, the meaning is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the words are from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep in mind that all the ahadith are on haqq, mean they are true. And as far as making amal or practicing upon ahadith is concerned, it is same like practicing upon Quran Kareem. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, based on hadith mubarakah, did not allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's inheritance to be distributed. Whereas we know that distribution of inheritance is mentioned in Quran Kareem. But due to the hadith, this hukm was cancelled for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we the prophets don't leave wealth or worldly inheritance, our inheritance is knowledge. So we understand that ahadith are valid and ahadith are very important, and we must practice upon the ahadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But of course, with the guidance of ulama ikram and scholars. Not directly, because that way you may mislead or misguide yourself. Also keep in mind that the disbelievers are only in humans and in jinns. In other creations, there are no disbelievers. In animals, in birds, in fish, or any other creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, there are no disbelievers. Disbelievers are only in humans and in jinns. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done more favors upon human beings, that the prophets and the awliya are sent from human being. Therefore, particularly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his anger on human being, that human being says this about me and human being says that about me. In this hadith mubarakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he belies me. What it means that he belies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It means that he denies the qiyamah, the establishment of qiyamah. Or he denies all those ayat, or he belies all those ayat in which the qiyamah is mentioned. Then in this hadith mubarakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that creating second time is not easier than creating first time. It means that it is normally difficult for people when they invent something, when they manufacture something. The first invention is always difficult. And thereafter, when you want to produce more, it would be easy because you already got a model. And the kuffar, the disbelievers, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the mujid, he is the inventor of this universe. So why they don't want to believe that he would revive them and make them again on the day of judgment? Because to wake them up on the day of judgment is i'ada-e-khalq. I'ada-e-khalq means to recreate, to remake, or to remanufacture. And whereas remanufacturing or remaking is much easier than initially making something. So why do they have a problem to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can wake them up on the day of judgment or make them alive again on the day of judgment? So it's very strange. It's totally against the common sense. And then in this Hadith Mubarakah, it's mentioned that they swear at me. What is their swearing? How do they swear? The mushriks of Makkah, they used to believe that angels are the daughters of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So in this part of Hadith Mubarakah, all these group of people are indicated. Keep in mind that having wife or children is excellence for us. But it is insult and swearing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing can be an excellence for one person and it can be a defect for another person. For example, there is no comparison in this with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just an example for us to understand. That if there is an unmarried, chaste woman, to call her she got children, this is insult for her. But if there is a married woman, if she has children, that is an excellence. So we understand that one thing could be praise or an excellence for one person, and it could be insult or defect for another person. Then we learn in this Hadith Mubarak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am alone, and there is no partner that I have with me. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a child or wife, then the child and the wife must be from the same kind, same category. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists without body, then that child must also be existing without body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears without ears, he sees without eyes, he does things without hands, he is free from body. So now if he has a child or he has a wife, then they must also be the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal, then that one must also be eternal. And normally, you know, this is common sense that we get married to a woman who is of our own type and category. A man doesn't marry to a female jinn, who he doesn't marry to a cow or a buffalo, because they're not from the kind and the category of human being. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wife, then who is she? From which category is she from? Is she human being, or does she have divine abilities and qualities like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if she is from human being, it's not possible. And if she is divine and has divine qualities, then that means there are two gods, there are two creators, and that is impossible. So therefore we have to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from children, he is free from family. And why do we have children? We have children sometimes because we are overpowered by lust, and as a result we have children. Or some people have this desire that I want to have inheritors of my properties and wealth after I die, somebody of my own. Or some people have a desire that their family, their progeny can extend, and there must be someone to take their names, or if they have pious children, they can read Fatiha for them, etc. So all these are needs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from every need. Therefore, he does not require children or wife, so he is free from children and wife. So this was the brief commentary on the hadith which I have recited. Now let's move to the second hadith. وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قال الله تعالى يؤذيني ابن آدم يسب الدهر وأنا الدهر بيدي الأمر وأقلب الليل والنهار متفق عليه. حضرت سیدنا ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ رپورٹس اور بلاول نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم سیڈ دیٹ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ سیز دیٹ ہیومن بینگ ہرٹس می ہی سویز می ہی سویز دا ٹائم اینڈ آئی ایم دا ٹائم. واٹ اٹ مینس دیٹ آئی ایم دا ٹائم؟ اٹ مینس دیٹ آئی کاز دا افیکٹ in the time. So time on its own is nothing. I change the night to day and day to night, and this hadith is muttafaqun alayh, means this hadith is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Muslim. Now let's try to understand this hadith mubarakah. In this hadith Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that man hurts me, he causes pain to me. What it means? It means that he makes me angry, that he talks those things about me and he insults me in those things, in those words, and he makes me angry. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from getting hurt or from feeling pain. So in this Hadith Qudsi, the word pain means that this human being who talks like this, he makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. And what he says, O time, you have oppressed me. You have killed my loved one so and so. You are zalim, you are oppressor. From this Hadith Mubarakah we learn the things which are mahkoom of Allah, which are in order of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to insult them, you would make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. For example, if the rain comes, if the wind comes, if there's storm, there's cyclone, there's flood, if the lightning strikes, you cannot sway the lightning or the wind or the rain or the water, because these are forces of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans and he sends them. So if you swear at them, you are insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we also understand from this that to insult or to swear at the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would also make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very angry. So people must be careful and have Kufl-e Madina on their tongues and think before they speak. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith mubarakah that I take the night, I bring the day, then I take the day, I bring the night. I make them small and big, I make them cold and hot, I make them useful and harmful. So when someone criticizes the time, the days, he criticizes me. Also keep in mind that here the word dahar, which is used in Hadith Mubarakah, it means mu'athir-e-haqiqi, the one who really causes the effect. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, musabbibul asbab. Otherwise, you cannot call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dahar. So word dahar is used metaphorically for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what is meant here is the one who causes the effect in dahar, who causes the effect in the time. وعن أبي موسى الأشعري قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أحد أصبر على أذى يسمعه من الله يدعون له الولد ثم يعافيهم ويرزقهم. حضرت سيدنا أبو موسى أشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم has said that there is no one who is more patient than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the hurtful words. Because people claim about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has children, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gives them, provides them peace and sustenance. So in this hadith mubarakah, more patient, sabr, is in the meaning of hilm, tolerance. So it means that there is no one who is more tolerant than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite people find faults in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they insult Him, that they dedicate and attribute wrong things towards Him, and Allah knows about it, and He is all powerful. If He wants to punish them, He can punish them. If He wants to punish them immediately on the spot, He can do that. But in the dunya, He keeps them healthy, with peace, He gives them sustenance. Now, dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, if we look around in the world, many of those people who claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have children, in their world, or in their countries, or in their places, they live very peacefully. They have enough sustenance. They don't have financial problems. They don't have civil wars. They live peacefully. Their governments are very strong. They provide them with homes, cars, and every facility. They live comfortably, peacefully. But yet they're saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has children. So we learn from this hadith mubarakah that in the dunya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them all because He tolerates them. Because the dunya is the place to show His rahmaniyat, is the manifestation of rahmaniyat. Rahman is the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this means that He shows mercy to Muslims and to the non-Muslims. But after death, there is no peace for them. After death, there is no sustenance for the disbelievers. Therefore, that would be the manifestation of His rahimiyat, His being rahim. So, if you see any of those people who make kufr and relate children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you see they're still prosperous and peaceful and they live very nicely, don't get excited and don't confuse yourself in any matter or in any issue, because it's a big test for them. وَعَنْ أَبِي ذَرٍ قَالَ أَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَعَلَيْهِ ثَوْبٌ أَبْيَدُ وَهُوَ نَائِمٌ ثُمَّ أَتَيْتُهُ وَقَدِ اسْتَيْقَظَ فقال ما من عبد قال لا إله إلا الله ثم مات على ذلك إلا دخل الجنة قلت وإن زنا وإن سرق قال وإن زنا وإن سرق قلت وإن زنا وإن سرق قال إن زنا وإن سرق قلت وإن زنا وإن سرق قال وإن زنا وإن سرق على رغم أنف أبي ذر وقال أبو ذر إِذَا حَدَّثَ بِهَذَا قَالَ وَإِنْ رَغِمَ أَنْفُ أَبِي ذَرٍ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ حضرت ابو ذر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ reports that once I came into the blessed court of beloved Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم was resting, sleeping, while covering himself with a pure white sheet. So I went away and I came back. When I came back, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was up. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that any person who says La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, then he dies upon it, he will enter paradise. I said, even if he commits adultery and steals, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, even if he commits adultery and steals. I said, even if he commits adultery and steals, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, even if he commits adultery and steals. I said, even if he commits adultery and he steals? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes, even if he commits adultery, even if he steals, and even if Abu Dharr rubs his nose on the ground. So Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever he used to tell this hadith or report this hadith, he used to say, even if Abu Dharr rubs his nose on the ground. Subhanallah. The narrator of this hadith, his name is Jundab ibn Janada, and his appellation is Abu Dharr. That's kuniyat. Kuniyat is like a nickname or pet name, because the kuniyat doesn't exist in English or in English culture, therefore it's very difficult to find an equivalent word for kuniyat. He was from tribe of Bani Ghifar. He is the fifth Muslim. Alhamdulillah. He came to Makkatul Mukarramah and he became Muslim. Then on the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went back to his nation to teach them about Islam. Then at the time of Battle of Khandaq, he came to Madinatul Munawwara. Then he lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he went away to Rabza, another place, and he stayed there. And in the time of the Khilafat of Sayyidina Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he passed away. He was a very holy person. He had no attachment with the worldly comforts or money or wealth. He was a hard-working worshipper and he was totally against collecting wealth. He was a great worshipper even before he came into the fold of Islam. In this hadith mubarakah, we learn Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the one who said la ilaha illallah, he would enter paradise. What it means? Does it mean that one can just say la ilaha illallah and he will enter paradise? The meaning of la ilaha illallah is that he confirms and endorses all the aqaid of Islam, all the beliefs of Islam. This is a short form of giving the message to endorse all the aqaid of Islam. For example, sometimes we say, reading Alhamdulillah is wajib in namaz. This does not mean that you should only read Alhamdulillah and stop here. And you don't read Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. No, it means when we say read Alhamdulillah or reading Alhamdulillah is wajib, it means reading Surah Fatiha is wajib. Reading the whole Surah is wajib. So similarly, sometimes just Kalima is mentioned, but the whole Islam is meant, or all the aqaid of Islam are meant. So one should not have any misunderstanding here that we can just read Kalima and then do whatever we want to do and believe whatever we want to believe, we are going to paradise. Now, he will enter paradise. How will he enter paradise? Maybe straight away without being punished, or maybe enter hell for a while and get the punishment, and then he is cleared up with the water of intercession, and then he is put back into Jannat. Must remember that Jannat is made for the believers and Jahannam is made for the disbelievers. So the believer would never stay in Jahannam permanently. So if he goes, he is going to get his punishment, and then he will be put back to Jannah. Now, when Hazrat Abu Zar said that even if he commits adultery, even if he steals, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, what it means? It means that as long as he believes that these are sins, then his iman would still be intact. Only time person loses his iman when he does not regard a sin as a sin. So as long as he keeps in his belief system that committing adultery is sin and stealing is sin, he would still be a believer. So we learn few maslas, that with major sin, guna kabira, person does not go out of the fold of Islam. Second masla we learn that because of guna kabira or big sin, the good deeds are not vanished or wiped away, as it happens in the case of kufr, when person commits a kufr. The third issue we learn here is that the person who dies on iman, he is certainly a jannati, whether he goes straight away to Jannat or after a while. Why Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala was asking over and over, even if he commits adultery, even if he steals? He was amazed actually. That's why he was saying, even if he does this, even if he does that. Because in his understanding, these are major sins, and that person becomes filthy. And Jannat is for the clean people. So he was amazed that how is this possible, that that filthy, dirty person can come into Jannat? But he did not realize that the water of intercession and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clean them and wash them and purify them, and then they will enter paradise. Subhanallah. At the end of hadith, it's mentioned that even if Abu Zar rubs his nose on the ground, this type of phrase is used when person doesn't like something and he feels, why is this happening? It shouldn't have been happening. So this was the feeling of Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari, that a person who's committing adultery and he steals, he still will go to Jannat if he says La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This shouldn't be happening. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even if Abu Zar goes and rubs his nose in the ground, it's not going to change anything. This is the law and you have to believe in it. Subhanallah. وَعَنْ عُبَادَةَ بْنِ الصَّامِتِ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ شَهِدَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَأَنَّ عِيسَى عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ وَرُوحٌ مِنْهُ وَالْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارُ حَقٌّ أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. حضرت سيدنا Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the one who bears evidence that there is no worthy of worship except Allah, and he has no partner, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the bondsman and messenger of Allah. Isa alayhi salam is a bondsman of Allah. He is the Rasul of Allah. He is the son of slave lady of Allah. He is the word of Allah which was casted into Maryam. And he is a soul from Allah. Jannat and Jahannam are haq, mean they are true, they are there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter people into paradise according to their deeds. Subhanallah. In this hadith mubarakah we learn that this is iman. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the one who said, La ilaha illallah, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, wa anna Muhammad Rabb. Some people think that, okay, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also has to believe the same what we have to believe. So what's the difference between us and him? So what if we say he's like us or we are like him? So here, let's put one thing straight before we move forward. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the highest amongst the bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the most excellent amongst the messengers of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his bandagi, his being the bondsman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our being the bondsman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different, and the difference is more than the distance of earth and skies. We are proud that Allah is our Lord. And the dasta qudrat, the powerful hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is proud that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself via his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah is the one who has sent his Rasul with guidance. Everybody wants that Allah to be pleased with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be pleased with him. Therefore he says in Quran Kareem, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you so much, Allah will give you soon so much, that you will be pleased, O beloved. That's why Ala Hazrat Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, Khuda ki raza chahte hain do alam, aur Khuda chahta hai raza-e Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. All of us, we sit in the boat of Islam, in the ship of Islam, to go on the other side. And Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam sits in this boat as a captain to take us on the other side towards Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah, these were the few beautiful ahadith which we read, and we learnt few beautiful masail from these ahadith mubarakah. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, something very important I could not explain, but in the next silsila I would do that, inshallah Azza wa Jal. And that is to explain how, what it means to say Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is kalimatullah and he is ruhullah. A lot of people don't understand, so inshallah a brief explanation would be given, inshallah, in the next silsila. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to learn the deen of Islam, the knowledge of deen, and may we remember it and pass it over to others. And may Allah make us lovers of the sunnah of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
O Muballik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. O Muballik, for you it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success still.